Action brought to you this morning by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma and by Tallgrass Motors.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1, typically on the first Friday of the month, we try to focus on county government and an opportunity for me to spend a little bit of time with, well, still relatively new, Sheriff Scott Owen. Good morning, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Charlie. It's a pleasure to be here, especially on your last show.
Well, I appreciate that. One could look at it as a significant, or I'm not sure I want to say historic occasion. I've done too many. I would hate to count the number of community connection programs I've done in 22 and a plus years. You know,
I've known you for a long time, and I consider you a very good friend, and definitely a friend of the community. You have a tremendous footprint here.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I've said it before, but one more time, it's a couple of granddaughters that kind of figuratively put their thumb on the scale and tipped the scale and said, let's get about 425 miles closer.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing at all. Law enforcement, as I look back over just the sheriff's office, and I'll include the jail in the 22 years that I've been here, when I arrived, it was just kind of in the back corner, more or less, of the courthouse administrator judicial building.
Yes.
And the jail was the basement, and people kind of forget that building was actually built as a post office.
It was. And when I started in law enforcement in 85, that's when they were just building the jail, or not the jail, but the police department they just tore down.
Right.
And we housed prisoners at the old county jail. And that was before Larry Silver Sr. did the remodel on it. And at that time, it was like 50 or 60 capacity.
Wow.
And it's always full.
Yeah. And of course, now we have a much more modern facility. It's expandable if the need arises and the taxpayers are willing. It is somewhat of a model jail in that other counties have come to take a look around and see what Washington County did and how we did it.
It actually is. It's as far as jails go, it's a crown jewel in the state, or especially for Washington County. We are the seventh largest county jail facility in the state of Oklahoma, and the contractors that built it, they actually bring their potential customers, if you will, the other counties, to tour our facility to see exactly what we have. And it's a fine place, and we're lucky to have it to confine the people that need to be confined.
I know a lot of planning, law enforcement officials, county commissioners, and others did their homework very well. What do we want to build into the jail? How do we want to structure it so that it works well? Just going to arraignments in court, and they're appearing most of the time by video. You don't have to take the prisoners over back to the judicial center for arraignment, which is usually about a 10-minute court appearance for them, and you're not taking them back and forth that way. It has minimized transport in that respect and increased security for the county.
Well, it has minimized transport to a degree. We still have to move people from the detention center physically by means of transportation, either in patrol cars and or transport vans, for appearances that are they required to be in presence of the judge, mm-hmm. and their defense attorneys, etc., paperwork. And it's more than what you really think. There's at times, we may move. In the past, I remember moving as many as 35 people a day for one hearing. And we do a lot of traveling. And then we do a lot of traveling with the transport within the state and intrastate picking up prisoners that have been arrested for extradition.
Sure. And when you have to go to, I don't care, Lawton or someplace out of state to pick up a prisoner that is being brought back here for Washington County charges, or I mean, you're without that individual or sometimes two individuals for the period of that transport day, because you, depending on how far they go, that may be their only mission for that 8-hour shift.
Yeah, that, or there may be, you know, there may be days involved.
Yeah.
We've been able to utilize private transport companies for extremely long transports, and it has been cost effective. So we look at everything we can do to save a taxpayer's dollar and try to be good stewards of the tax dollars that they provide for us to operate that place.
Compared to the jail as it was before this one was built, though, it's a clean facility. I remember the dim, dark pictures of not much sunlight coming in that basement jail. The county did what it could to maintain it, but it was an old facility. It had been repurposed as a jail. Almost to the point the state says you build one or we'll build one for you.
That was pretty much what it was, build one or else at the time. And yes, the lighting was and ventilation in that basement was not good. The new jail, on the other hand, as opposed to the old jail, where the old jail would be grandfathered into certain requirements or exemptions, if you will. Excuse me. This new facility has to be maintained compliant with all the latest standards. And when you have all these extra add-ons, like we have skylights, we have air handling systems. The air handling systems alone on the new facility is, they're astronomical. Our maintenance technician that works for us does a wonderful job of maintaining those. He does everything he can on our end to reduce expenses, so we don't have to outsource a lot of stuff, and that saves thousands and thousands of dollars. Just the air handling systems, Charlie, on our new building, we have 26 air handlers on top of that building. 17 of those 26 are high volume HVAC air conditioner heating units. They're now 10 years old, and you know how 10-year-old air conditioners work at your house.
Yeah.
They're about $20,000 a piece to replace. And the remaining 9 air handlers are either input fresh air or exhaust hot or stale air. And that is for the benefit of the employees, the prisoners, everybody in the building, because it keeps the air moving. It's actually a breathing machine, if you will.
Yeah. While somebody may say, well, I know the air conditioner's got problems at my house, but you know, it's probably going to work okay this summer, I'll put it off another year to replace it. When you've got that number of air handlers at a municipal or county facility, you have to budget those things, and you can't replace them all in the same year. So you have to say, I'll replace two or three this year, budget for two or three next year, and hopefully I can get three or four more done next year.
We definitely have to work that way, or have that mindset, and knowing that, you know, when one starts failing, if they were all 10 put in place at the same time, it's probably going to be a domino effect.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody can do the math, you know, 17 units at $20,000 a piece get rather pricey really quick.
That is not your current budget, I'm sure.
No, it's not. And, you know, that's one of the things that the County Board of Commissioners is looking at right now, and we are looking down the road to when this quarter cent sales tax falls off, to extend it for the maintenance and operations of the jail, because we're going to need to fund that thing, and it's statutory.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about a quarter of a cent here, so you know, without doing the math, just on a $100 purchase, you're still not getting a lot of that taxpayer dollar.
Well, no, we're not. And you know, the good thing about it, it's not going to raise taxes at all. We're going to remain probably one of the lowest sales tax bases in Northeast Oklahoma. We're under nine cents. So it's nothing new. Won't cost anything extra, and it will greatly enhance the ability to maintain our facility and other facilities, because that's going to go all toward two or three other things in the county: emergency management, the fairgrounds. You know, the fairgrounds is a wonderful place. We're blessed to have that.
Right.
And some community development, things like that.
Well, the fairgrounds, just because you brought that up, anybody that's been to the fairgrounds, I will compliment the county commissioners in the upkeep on that and what they've been able to try to do to upgrade. But that building is used every weekend and often during the week. It needs some upkeep too.
Oh, it does, and I think they're doing a good job of that. It's like any other building. You have to maintain it. If you don't maintain one, whether it's the fairgrounds or the county jail, we've seen in neighboring counties what happens when proper maintenance is not done on a facility, and we don't want to get in that sort of a situation ever.
No.
It's because right now we're running at the jail. I saw a report yesterday going out to the Board of Commissioners, and for the month of April, our high numbers was mid-180s, our low numbers was mid-130s. We averaged between 150 and 160 inmates, about 16 of those inmates waiting for transport to Department of Corrections. So, we hold a rather large volume. We're the smallest county in the state.
Yeah.
And we still hold a pretty good volume of prisoners. And unfortunately, I don't have to tell you, serious crime has been going up. We never held suspects for homicides and violent assaults to the degree we're holding at this time.
Well, I already attended my last Crime Stoppers board meeting, but I can tell you that the tip volume hasn't decreased much. We're still getting tips on serious and maybe not so serious, but nuisance crimes. But the point is, it still is occurring, and certain sectors of crime increasing in Washington County.
It has, and some overall crimes may have went down, but unfortunately, we've been seeing things that I didn't see 20 years ago. And the bottom line is we want to keep our community safe for our children, for our families, for our business communities, things of that nature. And, we're having a lot of change at the sheriff's office. I have new officers coming in. In the jail, new officers occasionally getting transferred over into patrol or transport mm-hmm. sections. But our retirement and our benefits aren't quite as good as some of the other law enforcement agencies, and these young men aspire to do better for their families and their pension and things like that. And we lose it. We have a turnover rate. I affectionately refer to our department here lately as a hiring pool, but it's a good thing for those young officers to get a better deal and provide for their families.
It is. The public doesn't always look at other government retirement programs, but many of them, and I really don't know yours well enough to speak to it, but the final retirement number often is based on your last or your highest 3 to 5 or 7, whatever number of years.
It gets complicated. It's kind of an accounting formula, and the municipal police retirement pension system is completely different than ours. It's basically a 20 or 25 year system, mm-hmm. where the counties is a rule of 90 for full, and that's a pretty good, that's a big difference.
It sure is. We're talking with Sheriff Scott Owen this morning on a 1400 K1 Community Connection program. We will continue and wrap this thing up in just a moment.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And Community Connection on 1400 K1, talking with Sheriff Scott Owen, and a lot of the time we spent talking with maintenance and upkeep of the jail facility, and I know that there was a bond issue that voters will get to decide later this fall. I'm not sure the date has been set for that yet, but it would take effect if it passes January 1st.
That is correct. I think the election is as early as June.
That's what
actually.
I was, yeah.
So it's one of those things that... If it comes through, we'll be able to operate at the current level without taxing other areas. The commissioners will not have to seek other avenues. It's not a new tax, and it would be a. Although nobody likes taxes, it's nothing's going up, and we are going to have to operate a jail and have emergency management, keep our fairgrounds going, and I think it's very wise decision on the count of the Board of Commissioners to expand that out to include the other agencies and facilities in our county.
You are very judicious with your manning levels. I know the report to county commissioners talked about that you try to keep your full-time staff at an optimum number, the number that you need to effectively manage the jail, and yet at the same time not increase your liability risk.
Yeah, it's good you brought that up, Charlie. In the old jail, we had a capacity of 77.
Mm-hmm.
And we operated at that time with 16 detention officers.
Okay.
Our new jail will hold approximately 240 people.
That's a little bit more than three times.
That's a little more than three times as large as the old one. And if we staffed this to the level of three times using the old numbers, you know, we would be at like 48. We operate with 26 detention officers.
That's
only 10 more. That allows us to keep a minimum of four on. Of those four, one has to staff the booking and the cameras and the security cells in that area.
Mm-hmm.
One has to be confined to the tower area where he watches visibly out and watches all the cameras throughout the pods. One officer on the run and a second officer if they have to go in, because you can never send one detention officer into a pod,
right,
or a cell block. It's a violation of state standard. It's also too dangerous. And perfectly frank with you, if you've got a pod of 24 people, to send in just two detention officers is a hazardous situation.
Yeah, that certainly, I mean, it's the same sort of thing as far as teachers to students. You want to keep that ratio as low as possible.
And, you know, the four is an absolute minimum, and that takes in people off for days off, vacation, holiday time, sick leave, things of that nature. We're not always at four. We're usually closer to five and occasionally six on a very good day. And then the jail administrator and assistant administrator, they operate on a very good basis. We did recently hire a kitchen manager.
No, okay.
She's also a certified detention officer. And so we kind of filled two positions with one employee when we had a vacancy, and she is managing the kitchen and saving the taxpayers money. We've gone from, first of the year, I believe our per meal cost per inmate was like $1.46. She's got our meal cost down to 88 cents a meal. The portions are all pretty much the same. It's the same amount of food. A happy prisoner, a full prisoner is a happy prisoner. They don't cause us problems. And she's been very exercising due diligence and trying to save that and improve it. I think we're in compliance with dietary and state standards on that. And we serve a lot of food out of that jail.
Yes,
they cook their own, so we don't outsource it. And it has a benefit for the inmate. They have a trait when they come out. If they've worked in that jail for a lengthy time, they can probably go to work in any restaurant as a fry cook, or if they get a little training, they could even go on to be a successful chef, and some of them do make good cooks. And then there's always support staff for the kitchen.
Absolutely.
So they've got something. It's kind of a win-win for the trustees.
That says a lot right there for not only what you're doing at the jail, but also that if they come out of there successfully, that they'll be able to be productive.
Yeah, that's the whole goal, to make everyone productive. Everybody can make a mistake, but if they can become productive and fix that and become a value to the community and value to their families and themselves, our recidivism rate goes down, and the taxpayers get a bigger bang for their buck.
Well, since it's just a matter of weeks till that bond election, or sales tax election, excuse me, people need to do their homework. Are you available for presentations for community groups and that sort of thing?
I would be more than happy to come out to a presentation to any community group if they've got questions, or if a citizen is concerned or has questions or just wants to know. They can call for an appointment. I'd be glad to meet with them. I can talk to them on the telephone. The commissioners are all available. So we want everyone to be educated about this. This is a matter that we really need to look at really serious. We need to preserve our gem of a jail we have. We have one of the best ones anywhere. I've been in and out of a lot of them, and I would not want my family member in some of the jails I've seen. But some of the inmates refer to this one as the Bartlesville Hilton. So I guess if you've got them talking like that, it's not a bad place to be.
It's not a bad place to be, and they are apparently well-treated and well-fed, at least based on the standards.
We take good care of them, and in having the staffing to do that, we reduce the potential for liability, and the jail is one of the most litigious areas probably in county government. One comes to mind for failure to staff, failure to train, involving a wrongful death suit in another county out west, and the civil litigation could go as high as $40 million. Our insurance carriers pay $1 million. That means if that county gets a $40 million judgment, the commissioners are going to assist ad valorem for years and years to pay that deficit off. So we want to prevent that if it's at all possible. I'm not saying that's coming to our county. Don't want to even think about it, but we would do want to think about all the things we need to do to prevent it.
Well, I think if people know the risk that's out there and the measures you're doing to minimize and negate that risk, then that says something about what's going on in your jail. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Sheriff Scott Owen with us this morning on 1400 K1. Again, we have the opportunity to vote on renewing that quarter cent sales tax next month. So we'll help you do your homework here on 1400 K1. 59 degrees and more on the way in just a moment.
Unlimited data from Cable One means limitless possibilities. Get up to 100 megs for just $45 a month.